So the very top line of Chaf Aleph and Aleph, the Gemara is quoting from the Mishnah still, La Rifa Sa'egla. So Rifa Sa'egla, Egla Rufa, was one of the things listed in the Mishnah that can be done anytime over the course of the day. So what's the source? Ami Debei Rabbi Yanai Kapara Ksiv Baki Kachim. In the Pasuk about Egla Rufa, it uses the word Kapara, and the Kapara tells us that Egla Rufa is similar to that of Kachim. So just like we learned yesterday that kachim can be done all day, so too egla rufa can be done all day. And then the Gemara quotes Lutaras Mitzorah. So Taras Mitzorah is the process of the Mitzorah becoming Tahor. So what's the source that can be done all day? Dechsiv Zos Tia Taras Mitzorah Bayom Tarasa. So the Pasuk says, in discussing the Tara process, it says the word Bayom, tells me that the Tara of Mitzorah may be done all day. Then the Gemara says, quotes the Mishnah at the end of the Mishnah that says, Kol alayla kasha l'ketiras ha'omer, that the entire night is permitted to be, you could do the ketiras ha'omer, which was then, they used to cut the barley for the carbon omer the very next day, you have the entire night to do it. So Gemara says, Damar mar, ketir usfira b'layla, vavas yom, this started a few moments ago, that, is that on its way? So, to tell us that both the sphira and the ketira can be done at nighttime. So what does that mean? So, right, so this is just a statement that that both Ketzir and Sphira take place at nighttime. You count at nighttime, you cut the wheat, the barley at nighttime. However, the carbon comes during the daytime. So this is how we know that the nighttime is kosher for Ketzir Somer. Now, there's no real pasuk that the Gemara brings for this. But Rashi tells us, if you look at the Gemara's Menachos, the Gemara Menachos tells us the source that Ketzir takes place Balayla. And now we are around six lines down, lehekter chalavim veivarim. So you have all night to burn the fats and the limbs of the mizbeach of the carbonos all night. How do we know that? So it says the Gemara, dichsiv kol halayla ad haboker. The pasuk tells us that the hekter chalavim veivarim can be done kol halayla the entire night until morning. One could be makter these items. And then finally, the Mishnah told us, this rule. So whenever the Mishnah has a tells us all these different examples, and then it says Zeklal, well, we know the Klal because he already told us all the examples, so Zeklal must be coming to include something. So Gemara wants to know, what's it coming to include? Zeklal Lasuye Mai. Liasuye Sider Bazichin Visilik Bazichin. So what does that mean? So when it came to the Shulchan, Lechem Panim on the Shulchan, in addition to having the known 12 Lechem Panim, 12 pieces of bread on the Shulchan, they also had Bazichin, which was, I think they interpreted to be frankincense. Don't know exactly what that is, but they had this frankincense on the side of the Shulchan. So they would remove that and replace that, and that would, every Shabbos, when they replace the Lechem Panim with new Lechem Panim, they'd replace also the Bazichin. That would take place during the daytime, and you have all day to replace them. So what does it mean, kol hayom? So Gemara says this is in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Yossi. What does Rabbi Yossi hold? So the Gemara doesn't quote the entire Mishnah here, but the Mishnah calls it the Tanya. I thought it was a Mishnah Menachos though. So the Mishnah, I think it's similar at least, that says, the Pasuk says tamid, that lechem apanim have to be tamid on the Shulchan. What does it mean, tamid on the Shulchan? So the Tanakhama says, tamid means that when you have the lechem apanim on the Shulchan, you have to have two sets of kohanim. One sets of kohanim coming from one side with new, fresh lechem upon him, and you place on the lechem, on the shulchan, and as you slide them onto each shelf, the old lechem upon him are fall off the other end, where you have other kohanim catching it on the other end. So not a moment goes by without there being lechem upon him on the shulchan. That's called tamid. Rabbi Yossi, as we're about to see, says, no, you could have the same set of kohanim do it, or at least you could have two different ones, but different times. You could remove the lechem upon him early in the morning on Shabbos, and later that day, put the new ones on, and that's still going to qualify as being tamid. So let's see that in the Gemara. The Gemara says, "Detanya Rabbi Yossi Omer, Siluk Es HaYishana Shachris." You remove the old lechem upanim in the morning, V'sid Es HaChadasha Arbis, and you could replace it, put new ones on in the evening. Ein Mekachlum, that's not a problem. That's allowed. Asks the Gemara, "Uma Ani Mekayim." I'll read the parentheses. Lifnei Hashem Tamid. But doesn't the pasuk say it has to be in front of me Tamid? And this is not Tamid. There's going to be a few hours where nothing's going to be in the Shulchan. So says Rabbi Yossi, no, shelo yehei shulchan below lechem. What it means, tamid means, it can't go a day without there ever being lechem panim. But since you have bread on the table over the course of the day, even though it's not every second, that qualifies as tamid. So that's what it means here when the Mishnah says, kol hayom, you have all day, that includes that to remove the bazichin, you have all day. You could do in the morning to remove the old ones, and you have the evening to replace the bazichin. Okay, then the Gemara quotes, So what does the last line in the Mishnah tell us? Then it says, the klal is that davar shemitzvasa b'layla kasha kalalaya. When it comes to something that a mitzvah that's done at nighttime, you have the entire nighttime to perform this. Gemara says, la'asuyeh, this comes to include my la'asuyeh achilas psachim, to include the eating of the Karban Pesach Leil Seder. So the Gemara says, and this has to not be according to Dulo Kabi Elzer ben Azarya, because the Tanya Pasuk says, v'achlu es basar b'layla hazeh. You have to eat the basar, the meat of the Karban Pesach, this night. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Nemar kan b'layla hazeh, Nemar lahalan vavarti b'eretz Mitzrayim b'layla hazeh. It says that the Pesach has to be eaten this night, and it also says that Akash Baruch Hu went through Mitzrayim that night, killing all the Bechor. Malahalan ad Chatzos, Afkan ad Chatzos. Just like the Bechor took place up until Chatzos, so too this took place up until Chatzos. So a number of interesting things here. First of all, the way it's understood normally is that it wasn't that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was killing the Bechoros all night up until midnight. It was mamish at midnight that he killed the Makos Bechoros. So you could say, maybe you should start eating the Karban Pesach at Chatzos and then go through the morning. How do you know it refers to before and then ends at Chatzos? Maybe it should start at Chatzos. He wasn't killing them throughout the night and stopping at midnight. So the Tzlach says that, no, Rabbi Elazar Azariah agrees, Halayla Hazer, it means the entire night. But Hazer put a pause in it, stops the end. You have to start from the beginning. He said something along those lines. Now, an interesting side point, because I think we have a short daft today.
We fall like that, because we have to come and enter Chatzos. We have to make sure we have to come and enter
Chatzos. So let's look at Tosos on that point, Harry Paskin. Tosos, Dibur Maschil, Lasuye, Achilas Psachim, Delo Krabbalazar, Ben Azariah. Mikomakum Nira, Delacha Krabbalazar. Even though our mission does not go like Krabbalazar, Ben Azariah, we Paskin that way. Why? The mission in Kuf Chaf Amin Beis. The Kai Kavasei. It's passages like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Ditznan HaPesach Acher Chatzos Mitames Yadayim. If midnight hits and you still have the Karban Pesach uneaten, it's Mitames Yadayim because you're no longer allowed to eat it. That's like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. The Chayin Mishnah Beis Mekomen. The mission Zvachim tells us. The Stamma Besof Perakam the Brachos also Gavi Ma'isa Ba Banav Shur Rabban Gamliel. When the children of Rabban Gamliel came late, we base a Mishnah. They forgot the Dam Marv. So they said, are we allowed to daven marv? It's past midnight. Amalhem, their father, Rabbi Gamliel, said to them, Kol mash amru chachamim achatzos, mitzvasan ad shi'al ben shaka. They said, you could say Shema. Because whenever the chachamim say achatzos, that's only gzeira. But really, the mitzvah is till the morning, you're allowed to. However, ve'ilu al-chiyas psachim lo-kotani, but he does not, when he gives an example of other mitzvahs, he does not give the example of eating Pesach. Sounds like al-chiyas psachim is not simply a gzeira of chatzos, it's the din that you cannot eat chatzos. Umoki lo krabolazar ben Azariah, says the Gemara. Damar ad chatzos. Vimkein. So that's the case. We pass like krabolazar ben Azariah ad chatzos. If that's the case, sarach lemaher leechol matzah b'leil psachim kolim chatzos. You have to eat the matzah before midnight. Vafil matzah shalafikom. And even the last eating, sharei chiyav matzah bizman zed deraisa. It's a real chiyav deraisa. And that is modeled after the same halachas of the Karban Pesach. Ava behalel shalach afikom. The second half of halal that we say after afikom, ein lahachmer kokach shereinish halal. Prior to Chatzos. Now there's a famous Avni Nezer who says, well, maybe we pass like the Chachamim that really we have all night. He has this famous Tanai you make a Tanai, I heap the matzah now. If we pass like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, this matzah meeting now is from Afikomen. If we don't pass like him, we're going to continue the Seder, and then after, I can have another Kazayas of Afikomen for the opinion of the Chachamim.
Well, the Chachamim all agree that if you ate it to Chatzos, you're Yotze.
Exactly. But it's an issue because you didn't say, you weren't able to finish the whole Seder. So you still haven't said halal, all the other things. I forget exactly the details of it tonight, but it's something along those lines. So that concludes the second parak, Hadron Alach, HaKori L'Mafreya. So, new mission, the new parak tells us, HaKori S'Megillah, Omed V'Yoshev. Person who reads Megillah could either stand or he could sit. Rashi tells us, Omed Imratza Yoshev, he has the option. So the halach is, the Rashi says, this Mishnah sounds like lichat chila, a person can either sit or can stand. He has the option. So the Achronim argue, what about the bracha that's said before him? So the halacha is, it's based on a medrash that the Ketzav Mishnah quotes a medrash by Sfiras Omer. It says, Me'achel Chamesh Kama, I think the Pasuk says. They say, Di Kama Ein kama ela amida, that when you say bracha sfiras omer, has to be standing up. So the Achronim say not only birchas mitzvah sfiras omer, but any birchas mitzvah we say you're supposed to stand up. So when we wear tzitzis, we put tefillin on, we wear the talis. At least the Ashkenazim, I know with some of the Sfaradim when they sit down when they put tefillin, I don't know what's that. But the Ashkenazim, whenever we say birchas mitzvah, we always stand up. So what about if you, let's say, decide to sit down when reading the Megillah? Pnei Yeshua says this is different, because just like since you're sitting down, the only time that you have to stand up for the bracha is when you're standing up when you're doing the mitzvah. But when you're doing the mitzvah like this, you're sitting for reading the Megillah, then you could sit down for reciting the bracha. Sfas Emes says no, this should be no different. The birchas mitzvah has to be standing up, but when you sit down, when you read the Megillah, you're allowed to sit down after reciting the bracha. Okay, then the Mishnah says that Karu Echad, Karu Shnaim, Yatsu, one person is allowed to read it. Even two people can read it together. We'll see, the Gemara is going to explain why that's allowed.
What does it mean that they're reading at the same time?
It's very say two people, you know, like you have two kids sometimes saying Yigdal together. So two people, mamash reading Megillah, Vahibi Me'achashayrosh, and two people at the very same time, that's permitted. Then the Mishnah says, Malkum shenagu levarech, yivarech, the minag where there was to say bracha, they would say bracha. And the Gemara is going to tell which bracha we're referring to. Vishal levarech, if there was no such minag, lo yivarech, they wouldn't say bracha. B'sheini v'chamishi b'shabbos, b'mincha, b'sheini v'chamishi, b'shabbos, and b'shabbos b'mincha, Monday, Thursday, and mincha afternoon on Shabbos, korim b'shlosha, we read three aliyahs. We're going on to a different discussion now. Up until now, we've been talking about Megillah. We just changed to talk about reading the Kriyas HaTorah. So Monday, Thursday, Mincha, Shabbos, we read three aliyahs. Vein Pochsimhen, Vein Mosifin Alein, we can't have less, we can't have more, only three aliyahs. Vein Meftirin Benavi, we also don't have HaHaftorah. HaPosech, Vachosim B'Torah, Mevarech L'Fanel L'Achra, the first bracha, and the first aliyah, and the last aliyah, say bracha. It's not like what we do, that's a later takana. The Kohen said a bracha in the beginning, and the Israel said a bracha at the end, no one, and the Levi said nothing. Rashi Chadashim V'Chol Shemoed, these days, Karin Arba, you read four aliyahs. Ein Pochsim Hen, Vein Mosifin L'Ein, you can't, nothing less, nothing more.
When it says HaPosech, Vachosim B'Torah, meaning that the first Rishon and Shlishi say Rishon and Acharon, or
Cohen says Rishon, Shlishi says last.
Right.
So then we went through the different aliyahs. So then Rosh Chodesh Chol Hamoed, we have four, no more, no less. And in Maftir Menavi, there's also no Navi. Haposeach Vachosim B'Torah Mivarech Lefnei Olachra Zeaklal. So the person who says a bracha in the beginning says before and afterward, same thing as before. The Kohen in the beginning and the Yisrael at the end, the Revi guy. Zeaklal, this is the rule to know. Kol sheyesh ba musaf, veinu yamtif, karin arba. Any day that has a musaf, and is not called the yamtif, we read four, such as Chol Hamoed and Rosh Chodesh. By the way, this mission serves as an example. I don't think the Rishonim bring this as a raya, but I think it's a good raya. There's a discussion in the Ritva and Sukkah, if you remember, whether or not Chol Hamoed is called a yamtif or not. That's a big discussion in the Rishonim. So this clearly says that's not called the yamtif, because it says that anything that has musaf, but doesn't not called the yamtif, you read four. An example is Chol Hamoed. We read only four aliyahs. Salamai, we see that Chol Hamoed is not called the Yontif. I don't think they bring this as a raya, but I could be wrong. Now, let's say something is called the Biyomtif Chamisha. If it's a Yontif, then you read five aliyahs. Biyom HaKippurim Shisha, you read six. B'Shabbos Shiva, you have seven. Ein Pochsman, no less. Abba Mosifin Alein, but you can add on. So it's a little unclear. Was Mosifin Alein is certainly referring to Shabbos? Is it always so going back to Yom Kippur and to Yontif? So, let's see. Rashi says, Rashi says, "Ein mosifin alein." The last Rashi on the Mishnah, "Ein mosifin alein." So he says, "Why?" Actually, let's go to the early one. "Ein mosifin alein." The first one. Shaloi kasha letzibur. So it shouldn't be hard for the tzibur. Mipnei shein yimei amlacha. You have to work. It's talking about a day of Rosh Chodesh. So sorry. Talking about the weekday right now. You can't add on. And the reason why Shabbos Mincha was obviously not working is because they used to have a drasha during Shal Shudas, they didn't want to take away from that. So you don't want to add on Leah's on a Monday, Thursday, or Shabbos Mincha. Then go to the next Rashi that says, Vein Mosifin Alein, the last one in the Mishnah. So what about Rosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed? Why can you add on to those days? Because Mirosh Chodesh and Chol Hamoed, Na Mi'ika, Bitum Lacha, Tim Lacha's Davar Havid Mutaris. You're allowed to do work that is going to be a loss. So since you're allowed to do work, and if you add on a fifth, sixth aliyah, that's going to take away the time from working, no adding on. According to this Rashi, though, Yom Tif Yom Kippur, where it's asur to do any work, then you would be allowed to be mosifin on them. That's what comes out according to Rashi, the Achronim point out. According to the Ran says, no, the reason it's different, you know why you can't add on to the aliyahs on the chol, on a regular chol? You can't add from 3 to 4? Because then if you add a fourth aliyah, it's going to make a chol similar to a Rosh Chodesh of 4 aliyahs. And you know why you can't add on to Rosh Chodesh, a fifth aliyah? Because then it makes it look like it's Yom Tif. According to that Svara, you can't add a Yom Tif because then it looks like Yom Kippur. And you can't add on to Yom Kippur because then it looks like Shabbos. But Shabbos, you can add on because it's not going to look like any other day. So there's a big nafkamina between the Rashi and the Ran.
Right, and it says also that Yom Kippur and Yom Tov you're not allowed to add because it shouldn't look like Shabbos and Yom Kippur.
Exactly, right.
And Yom Tov shouldn't look like Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur shouldn't look
exactly.
Like
so the only day you could add on is Shabbos, right. According to the Ran. But according to Rashi, any day that has no malacha, that you're not allowed to do malacha, you're allowed to add. We're not concerned with people getting upset. Right. Then the last line of the Mishnah tells us, and of course we know there is Haftorah on Shabbos and also on Yom Kippur and Yom Tov there's a Haftorah as well. And the first guy says a bracha and the last aliyah says a bracha as well. Okay, so let's do this Tosfos. Dibur Maskil HaKore. Tosfos writes, Vein Maftirin B'Navi, Kasher L'Rabbeinu Tam. Dehab Perak B'Mem Alikin Amar Ravi Achduvai Shilmali Shabbi. Tosfos HaKore. Ein Maftirin B'Navi. There's no Haftorah in the Navi. Kasher L'Rabbeinu Tam, this is talking about right now, Mincha Shabbos time. There's no Navi read Shabbos Mincha. Kasher L'Rabbeinu Tam, the Hub Perak B'Mebalikin, Amar Reb HaChaduvai, Shalmali Shabbos, if there wasn't Shabbos, Ein Navi B'Mincha, there would not be Mincha B'Yamtav Shechalios B'Shabbos. So this tells us that when Yamtav falls out on Shabbos, in Mincha time, there's Navi. Which Navi do you choose? The Gemara says you choose a Navi about Shabbos. Why? Because the only reason why you're reading Navi on Shabbos is because Shabbos, not because of a Yontif. On a regular Yontif, you don't read a Navi in the afternoon, only on Shabbos. So even when Yontif and Shabbos coincide, you read a Navi about the Shabbos, the Parsha, because it's the Shabbos that brings about the Navi, not the Yontif. But what we see from the Gemara is that you would read Navi in the afternoon. So Tzarech Lomar, you have to say, says Tosos, to hide the Kamar Hasam Demafti B'Navi, B'Mincha B'Shabbos, that Gemara which refers to laying Navi in the afternoon, Kishchav Yomtif, Lav Dafka Navi, El Rot Shlomar B'Ksuvim. They wouldn't read a Navi, they'd read something from Ksuvim, they'd read Divya Yomim or something, Daniel. Kedamin B'Per Kol Kisvei, B'Nahardai Paski Sidra B'Ksuvim, B'Mincha B'Shabbasa, U'Paski Hainu Haftorah. There's no Haftorah. Our mission is talking about Haftorah of Navi. No, you're right, there's really no Haftorah of Navi. They would read Ksuvim, that's a different discussion. Okay, so then the Tosus continues and says, apparently there are certain places that had such
what's
a minhag.
When
we say in the Mishnah Haftorah, we're referring to Maftirin B'Navi.
Okay.
And that, the Mishnah says here, Ksuvim is just a different minhag that existed. So it wouldn't. The fact that they have Ksuvim does not go against a Mishnah which says there wouldn't be a Navi. Because Ksuvim is different than Navi. Now, the end of Tosa says something interesting. He says, Vatam Shemafti B'Mincha B'Tainis. But didn't we say there's also no Mincha and a Tainis? Actually, we didn't actually say that, but he wants to explain why do we say Mincha, why do we say rather a Haftorah and Mincha time on a regular Tainis Tzibur? What's the reason? V'lo B'Shachar, not in the morning. Says Tosos Mishum D'Chziba, we say in the Haftorah, Shamru Mishpat V'asu Tzedaka. Okay. V'igra D'Tanisa Tzedagasa. The Gemara in Brachas tells us what's the Iker Schar a person gets in Tainis. It's not our fasting, it's the Tzedakah that you give in Tainis. That's Iker Schar. So since the Iker Schar of Tainis is Tzedakah, Le'is Erev, in the afternoon, Shimhachi Nachon Omro Be'erev Achash Asu Tzedakah. So I don't remember why. I remember this Tosfos being important. I can't remember why this is. But this Tosfos tells us when is the Iker time to give Tzedakah in the Mincha time. Once that's the case, so then, and that's the Iker Schar of Tainis is Tzedakah, it makes sense to read the Haftorah, which discusses tzedakah, should be read the time that we're giving the tzedakah in the afternoon. So again, for whatever reason, there's halacha to give tzedakah on Tainus. When you give it, Tosa says you're supposed to give it in the afternoon. So once you're giving tzedakah in the afternoon, you should also read the Haftorah, which talks about tzedakah in the Mincha time. Okay, let's go to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, Tana, mash ein gein b'Torah. So with respect to Megillah, you had the option of either sitting or standing. When it came to Torah, however, you don't have such an option. What's the difference? So the Gemara says, Minarim, how do we know at least the difference? Amar Rabbi Abohu, Damar Kral, the Pasuk says, Vata po amori madi, says Akash Baruch to Moshe Rabbeinu, come stand here with me. So when it came to Kabbalah Satorah, so Moshe Rabbeinu was standing, even Akash Baruch Hu was standing as well, Kaviyachal. So we see from here that a lot of the halachas of Kriya Satorah is modeled after Kabbalah Satorah. So for example, another halacha is that when you get an aliyah, so you have to have three people up there all the time. You have to have the Baal Kori, the aliyah, and the Gabbai. Bavah Sheni is not so needed, but you have to have at least three people there, just like with Moshe Rabbeinu, he had Moshe Rabbeinu, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then Aaron was right below him. So you have to have three people, just like Kabbalah Torah. There are many other halachas also. This is one of the reasons why many paskin that during Kriyas Torah you're supposed to stand up during Kriyas Torah, because this is what Moshe Rabbeinu and Kadosh Baruch Hu did. But I think it's the Arizal that says you don't have to stand up for Kriyas Torah, but many do based on this Gemara. So the Gemara says now, next, Vavmi Rabbi Abohu, Ilmali Mikra Kosov, had the Pasuk not said this, Yef Shal Omer, we could not have said this, yeah.
Sorry, I see some people stand for the Baruch and sit for the Leinim.
Yeah, because the Baruch is Kedusha, it's a Davar Shel Kedusha, so we stand up for Davar Shel Kedusha.
It has nothing to do that it's the Baruch on the Maisa, that is the Maisa, yeah, because in that case we should be like the... You know, if you're sitting during raining, you should be able to sit during the bracha because it's the same.
Right, so that's not, it's not an issue of birchas hamitzvah like we discussed earlier. It's a kedusha baruch that we stand up for. Even like you see, even find many times svardim, even nusach svard during baruch before shema, people would sit down during kaddish. That's also people sit down during kaddish. So oftentimes svardim you'll see sit down during kaddish. So for baruch they do a little like bounce up for the baruch because for the kedusha
svardim don't get up for kaddish.
Right, so yeah. But Baruch Hu, that do a little bounce for the Baruch Hu, because with Darshu Kedusha, we have some element of standing up. So that's why people stand up for the Baruch Hu, but they'll sit down for the Kriyas HaTorah. So Rabbi Bo says, Il Malik Mikra Kosev, Yaf Shal Omra. Had the Pasuk not said the following, it is impossible for us to say this itself. Kviyachal. Afa Kadosh Baruch Hu Bamida. We see that even a Kadosh Baruch Kviyachal stood up. Now we can never describe a Kadosh Baruch Hu as doing any actions or any appearances, anything physical we can't discuss, but if the Torah says it, so then we're allowed to say whatever the Torah tells us. Vamu Rabbi Bo, Rabbi Bo says something else related to Limud HaTorah. Minayin the Rav Shelo Yashav Al Gavi Mita, that the Rebbe shouldn't sit on the bed, V'yishena the Talmida Al Gavi Karka, and he should teach his students who are sitting on the ground. Shenemar V'ata Po Amori Madi, that you should be on the same level. Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, I'm standing, you're standing, let's be equal. So the Rebbe should be the same level as the Talmidim. They should all sit on the beds, or they should all sit on the floor. Tanur Rabbanon, the Brisa tells us, Moshe about Rabbi Gamliel, from the times of Moshe until Rabbi Gamliel, lo hayu lumedim Torah elam umad, so they would only learn standing up. Mishemes, so when Rabbi Gamliel died, yarad cholei le'olam, a certain sickness came down to the world, for you lumedim Torah miyushav, they had to sit down when learning Torah, v'hayinu the tanan, that's what it means, the Mishnah says, Mishemes Rabbi Gamliel, batel kavod Torah, the kavod Torah was no longer in existence, and people didn't have the ability to stomach the learning of the Torah is so difficult, so they had to sit down because it was so painful, so difficult to really have themselves relaxed and to absorb and to digest the learning of the Torah. Okay. Says the Gemara now further, Kasav Echad, there's a steer in the Pesuk, and one Pesuk tells us, V'eshei Bahar, I sat at the mountain. Because of Echad, Anochi Amadati Bahar, I stood at the mountain. This is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu both stood and he sat when learning Torah with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So how do we deal with it? Did he sit or did he stand? So Amar Rav, Omed Velomed, Yoshev Ishonim. When he learned from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he stood up. But when he taught to Aaron and the others, then he sat to teach. Or Rashi really says, Yoshev Ishonim, this means Shanisa Levado Mashlamad. He did a second time, it seemed like he chazed here, reviewed, like he put his head down in his hand and started reviewing everything in his head that he sat down to do. Rabbi Chanina Amar, Lo amud v'lo yoshev ela soche. He wasn't standing, nor was he sitting. He was somewhere in the middle. He was kind of leaning or bending over in the middle, or bowing. That's what he was doing. And Rabbi Yochanan Omar, ein yeshiva ela lashon akva. That yeshiva means, no, it means not literally sitting. It means he was delayed. He was holding back there. Shenemar, v'teishu b'kodesh yamin rabim. They sat in kodesh. They didn't sit there. They lived there. They were stuck there for a number of days. So Moshe was stuck on Har Sinai. Not stuck, but he was there for 40 days. But he was standing. But yeshiva doesn't mean literally sit in this context. And Rabbi, finally, his answer is, Omar, Rachas Mumad the Kashas Myushev. When it was something a little bit lighter, easier to understand, he would stand up for it. When it was more difficult, he would sit down. So you see Moshe Rabbeinu himself also had a difficulty sometimes understanding things. We see this comes that that the Rashi in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra tells us that the different spaces in between the Pesukim, why the spaces are there, in order for Moshe Rabbeinu to digest what Kadosh Baruch Hu just taught him to understand it. Because certain things were harder than others, so he needed a little break. Let me just take this, let me understand it. He reviewed it, and then went to the next thing. So not everything was always so smooth for Moshe Rabbeinu. So the Mefarshim want to understand, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu make it hard for Moshe Rabbeinu? Why didn't he just make it easier? Why didn't he just help him understand better? The point was to, for us to say that even for Moshe Rabbeinu, he had a hard time in certain sugyas. Certainly us, we're going to have a hard time in some sugyas also. So don't think, you know, we're all, we're human. Don't get so frustrated when things are a little bit difficult. It's okay when we don't understand things and we try to work harder on it. Okay, the Gemara now at the end, the very last line of the Amud, quotes from the Mishnah that Karu Echad, Karu Shnaim Yatsu, that either one person could read the Megillah, or you can even have two people read the Megillah at the very same time. So the Gemara says, Tana Kamash Ein Kim Torah. But when it comes to the Torah, you cannot have two people reciting Kriyas Torah at the same time. So this gets into the whole discussion about when the guy gets the Aliyah and he whispers along with the Baal Koreh, so you shouldn't make it too loud that you don't want to certainly distract the Baal Koreh, and also you don't want to make it loud enough so the guy next to you hears two different voices, it gets confusing. Some people have the custom when they read along, follow along in shul, the Kriyas Torah, they say it a little bit loudly. So the guy next to him hears his guy saying the Torah instead of hearing the Baal Koreh. Or you hear both of them, even though the guy Baal Koreh might be louder, you're getting confused back and forth who's saying the Torah, who's reading it. So that gets confusing, so a person should not do that. Don't read it too loud.
The Sfarim get even upset if you... because they have one person reading aloud all the davening.
Oh, all of davening.
Yeah, and if somebody says anything aloud, they all get very upset. They don't like it. They want just the chazan to be listened.
I don't know how the chazan has the power of the voice to say the entire davening out loud. Okay. So, says the Gemara. So there's a machlokas, by the way, in the Mishonim. Let's say you get to a certain area of the Torah that is... Well, actually, let's go to the Gemara. Let's go a little bit further, then I'll say that point. So Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, b'Torah, echad kari ve'echad metargim. One guy reads the Torah, and one guy is metargim. U'bavad, because those cut back in the olden days, they used to have one guy doing metargim and explaining the Aramaic as to what was going on in the Parsha. U'bavad, shelo yehe echad kari yishnai metargim. But you cannot have one guy read and two guys do metargim. And Rashi tells us top line, Uvavad shlo yehe echad kori ushnaim metargamim, mikol shekein shein shnaim korin. And certainly, two people shouldn't be reading the Torah, because that's much more important. And the reason is, Rashi tells us, and the Gemara says this, but we'll read Rashi, taima mishum detrei kali lo mishtamai. A person's not able to hear two sounds at the same time. You can only hear one sound. You can only hear one voice. You can't have two people talking in the same conversation, saying two different things. You can only hear one person at a time. However, when it comes to Navi, says the Gemara, Ubin Navi, Echad Kori V'Shnayim Metargumim, you're allowed to have one person read and two people do the Targum of Navi, Ubilvad Shelo Yishnayim Korin Yishnayim Metargumim. But what you cannot have is two people reading the Navi and two people being Metargumim. Did we read? If it's Shabbos and I didn't do it with you, I don't remember. It could be Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, Rosh Hashanah Daf Chazayim. Yeah, that's what it says here. So the Gemara explains why by a Navi could you have two Metargumen. So Rashi says, if a Navi afilu echad kori ushnaim Metargumen, shetargum einu el hashmir lenashim v'amiharetz. Because the men who are learned know the Hebrew. The Aramaic was just read for the Nashim and Amiharetz who didn't know Hebrew. She'enu makirin b'loshon HaKodesh. Or targum hulaz habavloim. They used to read in the language familiar to the Babylonians. U'betargum shetarot tzrichin anu lachzer she mavinin es mitzvos. But for us, we have to read it because the Targum tells us all the explanation of the mitzvah. So we also have to pay attention to the Targum. But in the Nevi'im, the only need for the Targum was not for the men, it was for the women, so they could understand what's going on. So for them, having two people say it, it's not the biggest deal if they don't really understand what's going on. But for what? They're used to it. But for the men, when reading Targum of Torah, it was actually learning. We have to understand, we have to pay attention because there's a lot of dinim, chidushim, found in the Targum. And then the Gemara goes on to, what about Megillah? So when it comes to Hallel of Megillah, Afilu Asar Korin V'Asar Metargumim. You can have 10 people reciting it and 10 people doing the Targum. My Taima came in the Chaviva Yehav Daita Vishame. Since these times, reading the Megillah and Hallel are so chaviv and so dear to people, we're able to focus. Even though there are 10 people all at the same time, you could focus in on one voice and pay attention to that one voice. Okay, Tosis points out, actually, look at Rashi first. Rashi says, "V'asar metargumim." You could have even 10 people doing the targum on Megillah. Rashi writes, "Lo garsinan, shein targum meksuvim." There's no targum meksuvim. Remember, we saw that earlier in the Megillah. that when Yonas ibn Uziel came out with the Targum and Navi, the whole place shook, and he said, I'm only doing this for you, Hashem, because I didn't want it to be Stiras. Then he wanted to reveal the Targum and Ksuvim, and said, that's it, no more revealing the Targum and Ksuvim, because it has the Ketz of Mashiach, you can't reveal the Targum and Ksuvim. So what does the Gemara mean when it says 10 people with Targum in the Megillah, Megillah's Ksuvim? So Rashi says, there's no Targum, and therefore it shouldn't be in the Mishnah here, in the Gemara, there's no mention of Targum. So, look at Tosa. Tosa writes of a Megillah, Afila Asar Koran and Vasar Metargumin, Rashi Mochik Metargumin, the Fishain Metargumin, Metargum Beksuvim. He erases it like we just said, and says Tosos, Ubachina Machka, he erased it for no reason. The Vada Yeshagum, it certainly is a Targum, of a Lo Aso Yonasan El Mimeha Tanam Nase. It wasn't made from the times of Yonas and Menuziel, the Tanai made it. It wasn't at the same level that if Yonas and Menuziel would have made it. So, or if he would himself would have made it. So it existed, it just wasn't authored by Yonas ibn Uziel and didn't have the same level of Ruach HaKodesh that it could have had. Now there's Machlokes Shoshonim. Let's say, so we said, because Megillah and Halah are so Chaviv, people are able to pay attention despite the fact that 10 people are saying it all at the same time. Let's say you get to a certain section of the Torah which is very Chaviv, let's say this Shir, Az Yashir, so Chaviv to us, we're so excited, so happy, maybe then you'd be allowed to have multiple people reciting this Torah because it's Chaviv. That's Machlokes Rishonim, whether or not we say, yes, we would allow two people to read the Shira, and others say, no, across the board we say, never can more than one person recite the Kriyas Torah, even a partial that might be very Chaviv to us. Okay. It says the Gemara now, Makom Shenagu Levarach Yivarach. The Gemara told, Mishnah told us that when reading the Megillah, if a place had the makom to say a bracha, you'd say the bracha. And if there was no such minhag, then he wouldn't say a bracha. Amar Bai says, Lo Yishanu Ela Lachra. This only refers to the bracha HaRav Es Yivenu after the Megillah. Aval Fana, before, Mitzvah Levarach, everybody agrees it's a mitzvah to recite the Brich as a mitzvah prior to reciting the Megillah. Damar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, the Gemara Pesachim as well. Kol HaMitzvah Sekulon Mevarach Alein Over Al Esiyasam. All mitzvahs should be said prior to performing the mitzvah. My Mashma, how do we learn this? That Lashon Over, the high over lishan the gaktumehu. How you know over lishyasan means before the mitzvah? Very strange. Usually over means to pass. Doesn't mean before. The Gemara brings a number of psukim that over means actually before also. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Krah. The pasuk says vayaretz achimatz derech hakikar. He ran along the path of the kikar. Vayavor es hakushi, and he passed in front of, went in front of the kushi. So we see it means before. Abai Amar mehacha who over lefnam, and he went in front of them. Vibayis Ema mehacha, another pasuk he brought maybe. Vayavor malkam lefnam, their kings went in front of them. Vashem berosham, and the Hashem was in front. So all these languages tells us that over means before him. So lefaneha my mevarch. What would be the bracha that you would say prior to performing the mitzvah of Megillah? So Rav Sheshes Mikatarzi, he came from this place. Ikle lekame de Rav Ashi, was once visiting Rav Ashi. Ubarich. Manach, Baruch Manach, what does Manach mean? He would recite, was it Megillah? Where is the Rashi here? Amik Megillah, Shesanisim, Shechianu. The Ches represents Shechianu, interesting. So those are the three brachas, we say these also. Lachareha, my Mavarach, what would the bracha be after the Megillah? Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, HaRavis Yivenu, HaDanash Dinenu, HaNokumis Nekmasenu, VaNifra Lanu Mitzareinu, VaMashal Megmul Lecho Oyvein Afshenu, Baruch Atah Hashem, HaNifra Yisrael Mikol Tarayim. So there are five different things we say. HaRavis Yivenu, HaDanash Dinenu. The Beis Yosef goes on to explain what each of these are referring to, these five elements are referring to. Now, the Meiri explains these five things are supposed to correspond to the five Megillahs. We read this after Megillah, so this represents the five Megillahs. The Meir himself is not so impressed with that explanation. He therefore says the reason why we say the five mentions here, because there are five times throughout Tanakh where we see we fight against Amalek. That's a little bit more appropriate. So that's what, because we don't say this bracha by any of the other Megillahs. So it seems to be very unique to Megillah and Amalek. So there are five places in Tanakh where we fight against Amalek. That's why we say five different times in the bracha of Rav Asi Reinu. Rav Amar, no, the concluding the chasim of the bracha should be Hakel HaMoshia. That should be the end of the bracha. Amar Papa, Rav Papa says, Hilchach Nimrinu L'Tervayu. Therefore, you should say both. Baruch Atah Hashem HaNifra L'Yisrael Mikol Tzarem V'Hakel, not V'H, but Hakel Moshia. Also, you would say them together. So you look at the Mesorah Shas, I love this Torah. Rav Papa says this idea of Hilchach Nimrinu L'Tervayu. That statement is said in a few places in Shas. Other places it says Nimrinu L'Chulu. When there's a machok is between two, he says Nimru Tervayu, say both of them. When there's a three of Mechalkes, what to say, he says, Nimru Kulu, say all three brachas. So it comes up a number of places, so this is what I like to say, that the Rav Yashiv said that there are 10 places in Shas, you see Rav Papa doing this, say all of them together, he's making a pshara, that's why he was zocha, that his 10 sons, Rav Papa's 10 sons, are the ones who get to be said at the end of every siyam, because the point of the Torah is, one of the points of the Torah is to create shalom, Rav Papa himself was machria in learning Torah, so therefore his 10 sons are mentioned at the end of a siyum. Okay, the Gemara says now, B'sheni v'chamishi b'shabbos mincha karin shlosha. When it came to Monday, Thursday, and mincha Shabbos, we read three aliyahs. Ask the Gemara, honey shlosha k'neged mi? And these three aliyahs, why do we choose three aliyahs? What is the reason for this? The Gemara explains, because they correspond to k'neged mi, Amar of Asi, k'neged Torah, Nevi'im, K'suvim. K'neged these three elements, Torah, Nevi'im, K'suvim, we have three aliyahs. Rav Amar, k'neged Karnam, Levi'im, V'Yisraelim. Okay, those are three different groups of people that they're connected. So, Elahadatani Rav Asimi, Ain Pochsim Meyud Psukim. Now, if we say that the Torah, all the Kriyas Torah is modeled after something, so we have the Alacha that you cannot read less than 10 Psukim, Bibes Knesses. And V'Yadaber Olam Minaminyan. So, and Yidaber, a small pasuk like Vayidaber Hashem El Moshe Lemor, even though it's only a few words, that counts as one of the Psukim. So, Hani Eser Kineged Mi. So now you're going through who the three aliyahs connected. Now tell me who the 10 Psukim connected. Who does that correspond to? So, Amar Rav Yishuv ben Levi, connected Asara Batlanim Shem Beis HaKnesses. The 10 Batlanim, we said already earlier in the Masech, that refer to the 10 people who are not doing any work. They're always present in the Beis HaKnesses to ensure that we have a minyan. And we pointed out they're not necessarily there to learn, according to Rashi. They're simply just sitting there all day, which I think you pointed out, Ricky, maybe, that the Rambam Pesach Mishnah says, no, they're actually sitting there learning all day long. This might be one of the earlier sources of a kolel. So you have 10 people sitting in the Beis Medrash. That's who it's referring to, the 10 psukim are corresponding to these 10 individuals. Rav Yosef Amar, Keneged Aseres HaDibros, Aseres HaDibros, Shenemar L'Moshe Misinai, referring to the 10 Dibros. Rav Yochanan Amar, Keneged Aseres Mamaros, Shebehem Nivra Olam, the 10 statements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu used that articulated to create the world. Hey Ninu, what are the 10 psukim? So there are only 9 that says Vayomer, if you read through Bereishis. So it says the Gemara, Vayomer, the Bereishis, Honey, Tisha Hava. The only 9 that says Vayomer in the Parsha of Bereishis. Says the Gemara, Bereishis Nami Mamerhu. The word Bereishis, although it doesn't say Amir, it also counts as one of the Mamaros. And Dichsiva, B'davar Hashem, Shemaim Nasu. With the speech of Hashem, the world, the sky was created. Uvrach Piv Kol Tzvam, and with his mouth, all the powers above. So we see from here that the Bresh is also, B'davar Hashem, is also articulated by Hashem. Those are the 10 Mamaros. So look at Tosos, the bottom Tosos here, Ein Pochsim Asar Psukim Beis Knesses, you cannot have less than 10 Psukim for a Parsha. So it says Tosos, Vim Tomar V'Harei Parshas Amalek, Deleke Elatisha Psukim, Parsha Amalek only has 9 Psukim, not 10. Yeshomer, the shiny Parsha Amalek, that's different. The Sidra de Yumahu, that's the Seder of the Yom, that's very appropriate for the Kriyas HaTorah. Umafsik in Yonabe, and the end of the in and end after 9 Psukim, there's nothing more to read about it, you can't add anything else. We have no choice, basically. So, we also have a klal. You can't have less than 21 psukim by Haftorah. The reason why we have 21 psukim is because they were gozer, you can't read Kriyas HaTorah. So they said, okay, we'll read Navi. They wanted to make it similar, so they had 3 aliyahs per each of the Shabbos aliyahs. So 3 times 7 gives us 21 aliyahs. That's why they're 21. You can't have less than 21. But we do have certain cases. Yeah. So, I'm not sure why they did 3, but so they said you can't have less than 21. But
there are 3 aliyahs for 7 psukim or 3?
There are 3 psukim per each aliyah.
Right.
So that gives us 21 psukim. Right. So there are some times we have a haftorah less than 21 psukim. Because if a topic ends, we allow you to end it earlier. So here also, since the parsha of Vayavo Amalek ends earlier, so we allow it to end earlier, to be less than 10 psukim. I once had an idea. That why the Dafka Malik, is it any coincidence that Dafka Malik is the only parsha that we ever read that's less than 10 psukim? So based on the pasuk, it says Refidim, that Amalek and Klaisa met each other in Refidim, and the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Rashi quotes the Torah, says Raf Yudem Batorah, they're very weak in Torah. So that's why, since they had a certain deficiency in our learning, in our parsha, the Torah also is going to have a deficiency, only going to be 9 psukim. That's perhaps also why that the only place in all Torah that we read, we repeat a pasuk because there may have been a mistake, is Zecher and Zecher. Why Dafka Amalek? Is it Zecher and Zecher? We repeat a pasuk. We forgot a Nakuda because also we forgot something. There's a certain deficiency. We don't know how to pronounce it properly. Going further, since we have a lot of time, but I'll just end here on this, at least this topic. Where else do we find anywhere in Tanakh that we read where we ever repeat psukim because we may have made a mistake? Megillas Esther is the only other place where we actually repeat a pasuk because we may have made a mistake. We weren't sure how to pronounce it. Lifnam, Bifnam, La Hashmid, or Vid La Hashmid. Of course, Megillah, all about Amalek. So all these different Kriyas HaTorahs related to Amalek have a certain deficiency in the Torah. Either it's missing a pasuk, it's missing a vowel, it's missing a letter. All these because roughly day in the Torah, because there's a certain weakness we had when we engaged in Amalek, it weakened our Torah.
But when we read precious Amalek in the Torah, we also receive.
That's what I said, because Zecher, Zecher.
Right.
That's the only place that we find is Amalek and Megillah, which is also about Amalek. Only by Amalek, Halach, Amalek in Yanim, do we have these repeating of, because there's a certain deficiency we have in our Limud HaTorah.
And that's the one place where we're supposed to remember. Yeah, the place that we forgot.
Well, we have to remember, since we forgot.
We
that's
remember that we forgot.
Right. Okay. Now the Gemara, Amar Rava now, we're four medium-wide lines up, Amar Rava. Rishon, so now we have 10 psukim, and we have 3 aliyahs. So doing the math, there's going to be one aliyah that's going to have 4. So which one's that going to be? So Amar Rava, Rishon, Shekara Dalet Meshubach. If it's the first aliyah that has the 4 psukim, because it's going to be 4-3-3, that's very praiseworthy. If Shani Shekar Dalad, let's say this Levi has it, Shekar Dalad, it's 3-4-3, Meshubach, that's also very praiseworthy. And Shlishi Shekar Dalad, and if it's the third one that has it, 3-3-4, Meshubach, that's also praiseworthy. So why is it, what's the advantage of having each particular aliyah having the fourth, the extra pasuk? So Rishon Shekar Dalad Meshubach, why is that praiseworthy if it's the first one that has the fourth extra pasuk? The Tanan Mishnah tells us, if you remember from the days of Shkalim, good days of Shkalim, that Bishlosh Kupos Shel Shalosh Sayin Shebehen Tormenes Alishka. They used to have 3 little boxes of funds, and then the Tormenes Alishka that they would use to fund the Karbanos of the Beis HaMikdash. Vaya Kasar Alein Aleph Beis Gimel. They write 1, 2, 3 on each of them. Leida Ezemem Anishrama Rishon Lahakimimena Rishon, to know which one is going to be used first, which one was given first, to use those funds for the Karbanos first. Shemitzas Berishon, because it's mitzvah to use the first one. So based on we have a concept of using the first is always the best. So that here too also, it's better to have the Kohen have the extra pasuk. Then the Gemara says, what about Sheni? I'm sorry, the middle one. How do we know the middle one, the Levi, is going to be that's significant if it's Meshubach? Shekar Arba, that's Meshubach. The Tanya, the Brisa tells us, El Mul Pnei Hamnora Ya'iru, so that the towards the Mul, the center menorah, all the other candles were light. Milamed Shemitzadet Pneim Klape Ner Maravi, that they all faced towards the western candle. V'ner Maravi Klape Shechina, and the Ner Maravi was facing towards the Shechina, towards the Aron Kodesh, the Kodesh Kodashim. Rabbi Yochanan Mikan, from here we learn Shem Tzai Meshubach, that the center one, the middle one, is the Meshubach. Since they, all the other candles face the center menorah, we see being the middle is the good one. Therefore, the Levi, which is the middle Aliyah, is Meshubach if it that has the extra Aliyah. Now, I don't think, does Rashi explain this? I don't think so. But there's a big machlokas brought down in the Gemara. Oh, Rashi does, yeah. Okay, let's read through the Rashi. Rashi Dibur Maskil Ner Maravi. Ner Maravi, Rashi says, Hu Ner Am Tzai, only according to Laman Damar, Neros Tzafon V'Darom Munachem Havi, Emtzai Mashach Kima Kapi Marv, Toch Mishar Neros, Chutz Mishar Neros, meaning, the Machlok is how exactly the menorah is situated. So let's build a Mishkan, a Mesa Mikdash right here. Let's say this is the east, that's the west. So I'm trying to do it your way, a little backwards for me. This east, that's west. So you're going in this way to the Mesa Mikdash. So then the Kodesh Kodashim is there. You have the menorah is in the south. So the question is, did the menorah go east-west, or did they go north-south? So it went north-south, like that. So then we paskin all the candles faced inside, and the center menorah faced that way towards the Kodesh Kodashim. So this all goes according to the pshat that it went south to north. So, I don't know how we hold. We paskin a certain way? I don't remember. I'm not sure what the pictures are. Just because it's in pictures doesn't mean it's that way. I don't know how the Rambam paskins. It could be. I just don't know. I know the Gemara always brings up this machlokas and Shabbos and Menachos. Now, according to the other opinion, says Rashi, the Laman Damar Marv Mizrach, it went east to west. It was like flush against the walls. Then Munuchan Lo Mishum Dehavi Marav Hasheni Klapei Mizrach. It was the second candle, actually. It wasn't the center candle. It was the second candle that was, because the reason the Gemara explains is the one all the way to the right, close to Kodesh Kodashim, that's considered. I forget why the first one wasn't. I'm forgetting why that is. But only the second candle that's considered the Ner Maravi is considered the western one. Hold on. Hold on. Okay, I'm not remembering why, but either way, it's the second one, not the middle one. So if you understand that the menorah was going east to west, there is no raya from this case that the center one is chashuv. It's only if you assume that it goes south to north, where it was actually the center candle, can you bring such a raya. Now, maybe because the Gemara brings this as a raya, it proves that we pass in this way, that it goes... No, again, no, you're saying the other way around. We pass in the other way.
I'm not really sure.
Okay. Then the Gemara says, V'achron shekara arba mishubach. If it's the last one, the Yisrael Aliyah, that gets the four Pesukim, that's also very mishubach, mishum, mal, mekodesh, v'lo meridan. We always go up in level of Kedusha, we don't go down. So you build up 3, 3, 4. And for that reason, we have the last Aliyah with the four Pesukim. Now, Papa Ikle Lebek Knishta, once her papa was visiting the Shul de Avi Gover, that was his name, Vikara Rishon Arba Vishavchir Papa, he saw that they read four Pesukim in the first Aliyah, and he was very praiseworthy of them. He liked that. Now, that's not a raya, that's the only way to do it, because all the other ones are also praiseworthy. I'm not sure the significance of that story. Ain Pochsin Mehen Vein Mosifin. When it came to the Aliyahs, you can't have any less, you can't have any more. 3 for the weekday. Tana, the Gemara tells us, HaPosech Mivarech Lefanea, the first person, the Kohen, says a bracha in the beginning, and the last Aliyah, the Yisrael, says a bracha all the way at the end. Nowadays, the Chul Mivarech Lefanea Lachra. Nowadays, in Bavel, and now here in Eretz in America, we always read a bracha, but every Aliyah has to say bracha before and after his own Aliyah. Hainu time, and the reason being is, that Dakinir Banan, Gzeir Mishim Anichnasim, Mishim Yotzim. Gzeir, because the people who came in early, came in late, and the people who left early. What does that mean? Says Rashi towards the bottom. He comes in late. He misses the first guy's bracha, the Kohen's bracha. If he doesn't hear the brachas later, he's going to say, oh, wait a second, there's no bracha before reciting the Torah. That's interesting, because he always comes late. He never catches the Kohen Aliyah. And people are running off to work. He doesn't hear the last bracha, because they're off to work. And they say the first people didn't make a bracha either. They'll say, oh, there's no bracha when you conclude a bracha. So it's so interesting how little people knew back then about all these various halachas. So, for example, another halacha related to the brachas of Torah, there's a whole discussion how a person's supposed to say bracha when getting aliyah. You're supposed to close it up, or you look inside, or ideally, you're supposed to face Hashem and bow down to the right of Hashem, which is our left to the right of Hashem. That's ideal. But people are going to say, if you're looking, the Torah's open, if you close the Torah, there's going to be a hefsek. By the time you say bracha, and you open it and look for the place, best to have it open. People are going to say, wait a second, it must be written inside the Sefer Torah, birchas haTorah. It must be written there. That's why he's looking inside. So that's why they say, close it, or look to the other way, or close your eyes, or like bend that way. All these different things, so people shouldn't know, think, why would they actually think that birchas haTorah is written inside? So, whatever reason, when it came to Birchas HaTorah, there seemed to be a lot of confusion about the halachas of them and where they're written.
And it's written on every dot. Because whatever you're reading,
Exactly. So I don't get it, but apparently a lot of these concerns happen related to Birchas HaTorah.
The header.
Okay, so maybe we'll stop. I know it's a little bit early, but we'll stop here because the next discussion, I think, goes well into the next stuff. I don't want to get into too much of tomorrow's stuff, so it goes like halfway down the Amud. So let's stop here then.